Got a bit of a team up here today. It's good to see. Leslie wasn't part of the team until this morning, but it was her volunteered honest. It wasn't Pastor Bashy over the head. Welcome everybody that's here. Our live streaming people won't be seeing this live, but hopefully they'll see the recording later on. There's a problem with the signal today. So thank you to Andrew and David and others who are recording today's service. So as of when you do see this, welcome. And there'll be a wave of worship today and during the week as we worship now and others worship at home, listening to the recording that Ian puts onto the website and so on. But yes, it's lovely to see you. I can see some people I don't recognize and an awful lot of people I do. And it's good to see you. Let's pray. Lord, you know, I can hear that in the distance, in the quiet, there's a phone ringing. Lord, we thank you that we can contact you at any time. And you're always speaking to us. We pray today that you will draw us close to you, that we will see you, we will love you in response to your great love to us. We thank you for old and young. We thank you for those who are physically present here, those who will be worshiping later in the week. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. This is a good place to be and a privilege to be here. Amen. It's also a privilege to have notices, as you know. Not many, just two, I think. One from me and then one from Mark. Coming up on Tuesday, we have a church meeting. Not bad. One more time, on Tuesday we have a church meeting. Good, because at church meeting, that's the time often when we share things that are new or that God is maybe wanting to do, where we discern together the mind of Christ. There will be a number of things that we'll be sharing and praying about when we come together on Tuesday. But also, there's that sense in which we don't know what will happen when we come together. And like this morning, we've got certain things planned, but God has his plan to bless. And every one of you here, he wants to bless this morning and on Tuesday and Monday and Wednesday and every day. So do come, if you can, on Tuesday evening, 7:15 for a 7:30 start. It won't be a long meeting. It's not lots of business to attend to. It's more a sense of that building expectation, anticipation of what God is doing in these days and in the days ahead. Mark, could you come to this lectern and just tell us what's happening this evening?
Morning, church family. Good to see you all. Quick reminder, 6:30 this evening, you could be watching the latest exciting installment of When Holidays Go Horribly Wrong. You all watch that, right? It's not just me. Or you could join us here. So tonight and the following three Sunday evenings, we're doing a four-part study in the Word, looking at the Bible, its authority, how we're to interpret and apply it, and some of the challenges and difficulties in doing that. So it's not too late if you hadn't planned on coming. You could change your mind. See you this evening, 6:30 here.
Thank you very much, Mark and Louise, helping in doing that for us. And so when you've come tonight and the next couple, you'll then all be able to come back to me and say, those things you've been preaching on from the Old Testament for the last few months, you've got it all wrong. Okay? So I'm expected to be called to account by you all. To lead us into worship, some words from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Let's pray. Lord, we pray you would clean our hands. Cleanse us from sin. At the beginning of the service, through Jesus, cleanse us. Give us a pure heart, we pray. By the work of your Spirit. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. We are here to seek the face of God. And our first song is Open the Eyes of Our Heart, Lord. As usual in our worship time, feel free to sit or to stand. If God gives you a word or a tongue, then speak it out and we'll wait for God to interpret if that's what's required. And we'll test what God brings to us. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Jesus, lover of my soul, all-consuming fire is in your gaze. Jesus, I want you to know, I will follow you all my days. That's your prayer. This song is for you to sing, to speak, to pray. is so true that it's only in your will that we are free. Lord, we've spent long enough trying to do things on our own strength, doing our own things in our own way, and we know it just doesn't work. But when we surrender to you, when we say your will be done, then we are truly free. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to who you are, to how good you are, and to how good your purposes are for us. Help us, Lord, to trust you more each day and to worship you with all our heart. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We have an opportunity to continue our worship through our offering. This is one way we can show our love for God. If you come prepared for an offering, great. If not, don't worry. Let the bag pass you by. And as we often say, for those who are giving to the Lord's work through the bank remotely, as the bag goes past, grab hold of it and a sense of, yes, I give you, Lord, what I can, what I'm able to from what you've given me. Father, we thank you for your gifts to us. And the Lord says today, thank you for your gifts to me and the work of my kingdom. Bless these gifts, we pray, that many more will come to know of the Lord's great love. Amen. I have been so looking forward to this morning because of what we're going to be looking at. And I have a sneaking suspicion that the story we're going to be looking at today, some of you have never heard. And in fact, you won't even believe it's in the Bible. But as Andrew Hamilton does our reading, he's only going to read from the Bible, so it definitely is in the Bible. That's where it comes from. And there'll be an activity, children, Eric, and just remind me, Paige, Eric Paige, and I can see somebody, oh yeah, Jesse's there, and Arthur's with the trains. There's going to be an activity for you in a moment, so listen up, because you're going to help us this morning. We have been looking at stories from the Old Testament. I asked the preachers just to pray and just bring a story to us. with the idea that we might whet our appetite for reading more of the Old Testament and find out, because you can only tell a bit of the story when we meet on a Sunday. And so the whole idea is you go home and you find, I want to know what happens next. So we've had stories about men with a voice of correction. Leslie's got us to think about stories involving women. And then we had a story involving who? A boy. What was his name? Samuel. A boy, Samuel. So we've had men, women, children, now someone else who doesn't get much of a look in the Old Testament apart from being killed regularly throughout the whole of the Old Testament. Animals. An animal. And this is a story, amongst other things, of an animal who saved a man in an amazing way. Things are not what they seem in this story. So, what's the background to this story? The Israelites are coming to the end of their 40-year wandering in the wilderness, waiting to get into the promised land that God has said for 400 years they're going to have, and they've been waiting. They've just destroyed the kings Og and Sihon and their people, the Amorites, east of the Jordan, because they wouldn't let them travel through their land. They set out instead to attack them, and God said, right, and they killed them, they conquered them. The Israelites traveled to the plains of Moab on the east side of Jordan, and they camped there right opposite Jericho. Now, we've heard already about Jericho and Rahab and everything else. This is about the Moabites and what happened there. Now, the king, we don't know how it was pronounced, but I'm going to go for Balak. King Balak, the king of Moab, saw all that the Israelites had done to the Amorites, killed them all, and he was terrified because there were so many people. Millions of Israelites were there. All at once, bang, they just arrived. And the whole of his country, the whole of Moab, was filled with dread because of the Israelites. What if they do to us what they did to the Amorites? Now, King Balak knew he could not defeat Israel militarily. He couldn't get enough soldiers together to kill and wipe out all these Israelites. So he decided to try something different. He sent for a pagan diviner, a sorcerer, someone who is internationally known for cursing people. This was Balaam. Again, we don't know how to pronounce it, but I'm going for Balaam, and Andrew's agreed to read it that way as well. So this is Balaam, son of Beor, a Midianite. And some of you will have heard that term as well, Midian a bit further over than Moab. He used sorcery, divination, to try to control people and events. And this is the message that King Balak said to his messengers to take to Balaam. A people has come out of Egypt, the Israelites. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me. Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed. This man, Balaam, had power. Now you can read his conversations with those who came to fetch him and his conversations with the Lord in chapter 22, for homework. You can read a bit more about that. On first reading, when you look at it, it sounds like Balaam is a worshipper of the Lord. That he knows what the Lord says and wants, and is genuinely wanting to obey him. But it's not as simple as that. In reality, he is greedy for money. And he's reckless in going with these messengers to King Balak. We find out what he doesn't know about God and what he's really like in the story we're going to hear now. And children, I'm going to ask you to do a drawing and some words, if you want, out of this story in a moment. So listen up to this story. Andrew, if you'd like to read for us.
Numbers chapter 22, starting at verse 21, page 160. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down underneath Balaam, and he was angry and beat it with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you here and now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you eaten your donkey these three times? Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now. But I would have spared it." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back." The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you." So Balaam went with Balak's officials.
So, who knew there was a conversation between a man and a donkey in the Bible? Children, oh, some of you did, good. Children, Harry and Eric, there's a picture up there for you. There's a donkey. Where's that donkey? Somebody knows Goodrington Young's part, don't they? That's one of the two donkeys. So, what I'd like you to do today, if I may, I'll give you a pack and a sheet. I'd like you to do a picture of Balaam and his donkey and the angel of the Lord. And it could be the first time, the second time, or the third time. But you could put a bubble coming out of the donkey's mouth with what he's saying. "Why you beat me up these three times? I don't understand." And if anybody else thinks that being creative would be really helpful, I'll leave these here, because I know some people are very good at drawing. Children, this story was written down so that we would not forget about Balaam. a man being spoken to by a donkey. So the reason I'm asking you to do these drawings and writing is to help you remember, mum, dad, grandparents, to remember about this story. Because when we do something, we learn about it. I felt like we could put really a news headline. Man saved by donkey. Just this is a real event. And it's important not to skate over. Could you imagine what Balaam thought when his stupid donkey, a mere beast, an animal for thrashing, speaks to him? Has anybody been spoken to by their pet? I think dogs and cats sometimes get a bit close, and I think horses probably do. Third one, they're communicating, aren't they? A budgerigar. Well, I think it's true. Minor birds are very good at speaking. And parrots, you have to be really well spoken if you have a parrot. Because if you swear, they'll swear back at you. I know, it's true. Having a conversation with a donkey. I love donkeys. If you go to the donkey sanctuary, or if you go to Pennywell Farm, I love donkeys. And they've got a cross on their back to remind us that they carry Jesus. And you often see on the adverts, don't you, on television, donkey charities. Because donkeys are overladen, worn out, and just cast off. Donkeys are beasts of burden. They're the lowest of the low. They're just, things to be used. In the my NIV, which is a bit older than the one we use in church, it actually says, she, the angel of the Lord, knew this donkey. It wasn't an it. It was a she. So this donkey has feelings. And Andrew, you did it really well. Why are you playing? Well, that was just great. The thing that immediately happened, and it makes sense when you think about who Balaam was, he felt stupid. You have made a fool of me. Balaam was used to being in control. He was the man who blessed and cursed. He was the man feared by kings, sent for by kings. We're told not only did he feel stupid, but he was angry. Have you noticed, particularly if you're driving, particularly with men, but it does apply to women as well, if a man is caught out being stupid in his driving, what is his response? He gets angry. He hoots the horn back, or he accuses you of being the reason why he almost drove over you on the pedestrian crossing. That's what men do, and I'm sure many women do as well. If they're caught out being stupid, they get angry. And of course, Balaam got angry, and he had only one person to get angry with, which was the donkey. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you here and now. He was that angry. One of the commentators I read said, there was a sword close by, but Balaam couldn't see it. It wasn't in the hands of Balaam, it was in the hand of the angel of the Lord. Balaam thought that he was this great diviner, sorcerer. He could see things, he could work things out, he could pronounce curses and blessings. But he was more ignorant than his donkey. Who saw the angel of the Lord? The donkey. The donkey could see the angel of the Lord. Balaam couldn't. This story, the more you think about it, is very cleverly written. It's true. It's not creative, but it was the way it's recorded. It just makes sense. Balaam, you think he's the proud, super-duper person that you're in fear of, and his donkey knows more than he does. His donkey can see more than he does. And so the donkey turns round. Can you picture the scene? At this point, the donkey is lying. I'm not going to do it, but he's lying flat on the ground, refusing to move because he's got the angel of the Lord in front of him. And he, can you, I mean, like that donkey there that's up on the screen. Hello. I mean, can you imagine what this donkey, Balaam doesn't seem to be fazed. He didn't sort of panic, he just got angry again. What have I done to you to make me beat these three times, says the donkey. The answer is that this donkey has saved his life. The angel of the Lord makes it very clear, and I think it's really interesting, I hadn't seen this before, the angel of the Lord, which is the Lord himself, Jesus in an early form probably, the angel of the Lord uses the same words as the donkey. I don't know if you've kept your Bibles open, but it's really interesting. Why have you beaten this donkey these three times? He's used exactly the same words as the donkey, just to emphasize the fact this donkey knows what he's talking about. I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. If you read chapter 22 before this, it sounds actually quite sensible. Balaam asks the Lord, shall I go? Or, you know, what do you want me to do? And so it sounds like he's fine. And you think, well, why is the angel of the Lord now opposing him? And it's because we now realize it was reckless. He was after the money and he was just almost looking for any excuse to be able to go. I have come to here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now. But I would have spared it. This donkey is more important than your life, Balaam. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I mean, that's what he's saying, isn't it? You should be really grateful to your donkey because he saved you. That's why that on our what's happening this week, it's man saved donkey or man saved by animal. So Balaam owes his life to the donkey. And he says, I've sinned. He offers to go back home. The angel of the Lord tells him to go with the men who are taking him to King Balak, but speak only what I tell you. And that's what he does. And if you read the rest of chapter 22 and 23 and 24, there are four oracles, four pronouncements that Balaam makes. And King Balak is not at all happy. He blesses Israel four times instead of cursing them. Four times. And again, I'm indebted to the Bible commentaries for pointing out, and this is your real, real homework for you. If you read those, the four blessings that Balaam pronounces, they match up with four parts of the covenant of blessing with Abraham. That Israel will be as numerous as the dust, sand on the seashore. The Lord will be with them. Those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And a king in the distant future will defeat Israel's enemies, which is looking ahead to King David and to the Messiah, Jesus himself. So if you want to say, do your homework, you could find those four oracles, four pronouncements, repeating the blessings that God gave to Abraham 400 years before. Now, after all that, Balaam goes home. You might think that Balaam, having been spoken to by a donkey and confronted by the Lord himself, might have turned away from his evil ways. But that's not the case. But Scripture as a whole uses Balaam as an example, a byword of sinfulness, of greed, of an example of what happens when greed rules. Peter says this: with eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They're experts in greed, an accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Jude, little tiny letter just before Revelation. No chapters, because it's just one chapter. Woe to them. They've taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. Revelation chapter 2, Numbers 31. They make it clear that Balaam subsequently advises King Balak that the way to defeat Israel is to entice them to break their covenant with the Lord. The blessing and cursing bit didn't work, but rather than Balaam thinking, right, I need to stay on God's side now, if he can make a donkey speak and come up with the angel, I'll just do what God tells me. He then goes back to Balak and says, this is how you can defeat Israel. Presumably he was well paid for his advice. And so King Balak thinks, how can I defeat Israel? I know what I'll do. I'll use sex. If in doubt, use sex. That's the way it always works through the Bible. First thing you do when you stop worshiping God is you have sexual immorality. So that's what they did. King Balak arranges for Moabite women to engage in sexual immorality with Israel. 24,000 Israelites died as a result. Next chapter, chapter 25. So Balaam didn't learn his lesson. If you were spoken to by a donkey, do you think you might learn your lesson? Probably never going to happen. I don't think a donkey's ever spoken to me or ever will. But if God speaks to you, surely you've got to listen to what he says. Balaam, for all his scheming and planning, paid for his wickedness, his sinfulness, with his life. It's recorded in Joshua 13, verse 22, that in addition to those slain in battle, the Israelites had put to the sword Balaam, son of Beor, who practiced divination. It's interesting that Joshua records that he died by the sword. Bear in mind who was up against him. And Numbers 31, verse 8, confirms it was by the sword. Didn't need to say that, did they? He could have just said he was killed. He died by the sword. He didn't learn his lesson. God saw through Balaam. He saw his evil heart. God used him to bless Israel, but did not bless him. So, what does that mean for us? I mean, it's a really interesting story, and I'd encourage you to read it again and see what else you see. As usual, I've got three things to say out of this, but there's many more. Most importantly, the heart. We were saying to Alison, who's with us, our friend, who's a heart specialist nurse, it's all about the heart. God sees the heart, and he sees your heart, my heart. He knows our thoughts, our motives. Both Balaam was motivated by greed and the status that his power gave him. It didn't last. He died. He was brought low by a speaking donkey. What is our motivation? Why do we do what we do? Are we living for God's glory or for ours? Do we need a new heart? The new covenant that was prophesied for Israel rather than the law, which was involved blessings and curses, blessings if you obeyed it, curses if you didn't. There was a new relationship, a new covenant promise for Israel. And Ezekiel says, rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Jeremiah says, I will give them a new heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. So people in Old Testament were told, come to the Lord for a new heart, a heart that loves God, a new spirit. And then it's what David prayed for after he sinned with Bathsheba and arranged for Uriah to be killed. He said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. For those who do not know the Lord or oppose the Lord, they need a new heart, because it's not only this was what was given to the Israelites, it was also given to us. And in the New Testament, we see that Simon the sorcerer was told by Peter, your heart is not right before God. Repent before it's too late. The mark of both Gentiles and Jews becoming right with God was they had a new heart. Peter tells the council at Jerusalem, the Gentiles as well as Jews truly are becoming Christians. And this is what he says. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. So whether it's before Jesus came or after Jesus came, God wants us to have a new heart, a heart that loves him. And it's done through faith in Jesus. It's done by the Spirit of God making our spirits alive. We have a heart purified by the blood of Jesus. So that's the main thing that I think I wanted to bring out, but just a couple of other things. Secondly, how does God speak to us? Seriously, nobody has heard a donkey speak to them, have they? No. For those listening of the recording, there was a slightly bemused shaking of heads at that point. But God does speak to us in surprising ways. Sometimes it's very straightforward. We read God's word, we read the Bible, it's quite clear, we do what he tells us. But he does speak to us in surprising ways. He can speak to us through friends. He can speak to us through words of knowledge, spiritual gifts that God gives to perhaps complete strangers sometimes. He can speak to us in our quiet moments, in the dark, through visions, through dreams. He will speak to us sometimes in ways we don't expect. So let's be open to however he does it. And thirdly, God may sometimes put a brick wall in front of us. He put an angel, who put the angel of the Lord himself, came and stood right in front of the donkey to stop that what was happening. And there are times when God says no. And as pastor, I've had some times to do exactly the same. To say to somebody, no. Do not do what you are doing. And each of us may sometimes be used by God to do the same. That's why our scripture for the year is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. There is a time when we have to, in a holy, gentle but firm way, tell one another off, admonish one another. Say, watch out. Do not go that way. Long time ago, there's a person I met at church, a previous church, and I said, you're at a crossroads. You've got to choose which way you go. Make the right choice. 10 years later, he finally came back to the Lord, having made the wrong choice. But he did come back, but it was 10 years later. So there are times when we have to put a brick wall in front of someone and say, stop. Don't do what you're doing. So, God wants us to live for his glory, to be pure, devoted to him and his kingdom. Is that what you want? Do you want your life devoted to him, to be an ambassador for Christ, a fellow worker? There was a scripture that came up in our readings this week, which I'd not come across really before. It's Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. All of us here can have an instructed tongue as we listen to God's word. And we can know the word that sustains the weary. I'm not going to ask you, but if I did and said, who's weary today? There would be a few. If you go out in the community around us and ask, who's weary? There'll be a lot of people. So we have the responsibility to hear from the Lord, to be instructed by the Lord, to have an instructed tongue, to know the word to speak to the weary. What a privilege it is to do that. Let's pray. Lord, you see right into us. You know our hearts, our motives. And Lord, we are all impure in the sense that we all have things that are not right about our motives. And Lord, we just pray today that you would purify our heart. Renew a right spirit within us. May each day we seek to love you and to love others. And Lord, we do pray you would instruct us that we might have your word to speak to the weary, to one another, to our family, friends, but to our whole community. Lord, may we be part of the solution and not part of the problem, as we are healed, restored, and sent out by you. Amen. We've got a couple of worship songs now we're going to worship together with that build on that prayer. Feel free to sit or stand. Has anybody got a drawing they'd like to bring up and show us? Got a drawing? Yes, Paige, come on up. Come up to the top step. So who have we got? Let me just get the mic. Hold that just a sec. I'll get the microphone because then I can hear what you're saying. Here, Andrew, if you got the handheld, lovely job. So who's on your... I'll hold your picture.
I got a donkey and an angel and a bad guy.
Yes! Perfect. Balaam the bad guy. And which do you associate with? What do you think you're like? Do you think you like to be the angel of the Lord or the donkey or the bad guy?
A Lord.
The angel of the Lord?
Yeah.
That's the right side to be on. Well done. Thank you, Paige. Great. Brilliant. Have you got one? Do you want to show us? That's right. You don't have to. So I think you just said, I'm on the Lord's side. That's what Balaam should have done. And he would have escaped a lot of trouble. We always have a time of prayer before we finish ourselves. We've got one more song to finish. Let's pray for our children. Whether it's Sunday children or the Girls Brigade, the Boys Brigade, the Toddler Cafe, children come to Messy Church. Is it Messy Church next Friday, Saturday, isn't it? Suddenly it's come round. David has sheets there for Messy Church. It's a great time. Do come. And if you'd like to help, even if you haven't got any children, just come and help. David would love to hear from you. So let's just pray in this moment that our children, in whatever way they touch this church, and also the children that Debbie is reaching out to with ICE going to primary school, that they will hear the word of the Lord. And just as Paige has said, I want to be on the Lord's side. Let's pray for that, shall we? Lord, I thank you for all the children who come with their families and carers to Messy Church. Month after month, they come because they want to be in a place to be loved, to have fun, but also to hear about you, the truth, to know their Creator. We pray that as Dan and Rowena prepare Messy Church and in the months ahead with uncertainties when operations are and so on, that Lord, you will go before us, and that every time Messy Church meets up, your word will be spoken, heard, received, and obeyed. Amen.
Children within our wider families who we love, but whose parents don't yet know Jesus. And Lord, we just pray for all those children. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will move into those families, or that you will draw somebody alongside them to give them the good news. Because we don't want any of those children, Lord, to be lost. In Jesus' name.
Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. We have received the blessing. When we put our faith in Jesus, we are a new creation. And our last song we're going to finish with is a party song. Feel free to come up and get the instruments. Leslie's come on the djembe. It's a party song. It's a new creation. And we have good news to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, telling others of the reconciliation, of the peace with God that is possible, that we can become new creations in Jesus. So have permission to enjoy yourself thoroughly as we finish our service with I'm a New Creation. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.